and 93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 84 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again. That was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
This Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. Hope everybody is doing well. Hope you guys are ready to kick things off. Got some good football talk to dive into today. Obviously, it's Thursday, meaning we're almost there, Chase. Couple of days out from Alabama, taking the field for yet another game. Game three, week three of the season this time, taking on the Wisconsin Badgers, who will be traveling down to Tuscaloosa this Saturday, well, Friday, right? But facing Alabama on Saturday, early one, 11 o'clock kick. So with it being a Thursday show, right, we'll definitely dive deeper into this matchup. Tried to get into it a little bit late at the show, didn't have a whole bunch of time, but we'll definitely kind of break down the matchup between Alabama and Wisconsin. Again, Alabama right now, a 20-point favorite or so, right? So obviously a lot of confidence there, but we'll talk about what we expect in this game. Obviously, there's been some news and developments. If you guys have been keeping up, regarding some of the available guys, right? And I guess I might as well just go ahead and say that. I'm sure you guys have already seen it. But for a second year in a row, Wisconsin will be facing Alabama without their starting quarterback. Billy Edwards is officially not expected to play in Saturday's game, according to ESPN. So he is expected to travel, I believe, but he won't be playing. It will be Danny O'Neill that will be playing. So we'll talk about what that might mean, what to expect from out of that. But I've gone back, guys. I've watched some more tape, and I know a lot of people are kind of sleeping on Wisconsin. And to be fair, again, I've said it. They hadn't really looked the most impressive. Sorry, it's definitely a plane that just flew really low. That was interesting. Anyway, but a lot of people kind of sleeping on Wisconsin. When you look at this football team through the first two games of the season, be completely transparent with you guys. They've been struggling, right? If you just look at the score from last week when they played Middle Tennessee, it says one thing, but again, don't be confused. If you go back and watch the tape, man, first half, they definitely struggled. And it was really interesting, Chase. You know, I talked about their rushing attack. That's what they want to do. Again, they bring in a new coordinator. Last year, they tried to get to more of that spread offense, which was definitely unfamiliar territory for Wisconsin. This year, they go back to it, or excuse me, back to their roots, trying to, you know, have more of a traditional style offense, seeing a lot of pro personnel, regular right, you know, two tight end looks, two back sets. But they also do, you know, get in the gun. They throw it around a little bit. But what I'm getting at is if you pay attention to last week's game, the first half was interesting, right? The final score, I believe, was 42-10. But going into halftime, I want to say it was like 14-10. It was a close game. And even more interesting was, Chase, for a team that really wants to establish the run and run the football, they didn't have much luck doing so in that.
Coordinated monthly test of the broadcast stations of your area. We are testing equipment that can quickly warn you during emergencies. If this had been an actual emergency, an official message would have followed the alert tone. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
This swinging, but building off of last week's performance, which is going to be one of my keys. I'll talk about those later. But definitely want to give you guys my thoughts on Wisconsin. And there we go. My screen just refreshed and glad that everything is still good to go. That being said, let's go ahead and do this. Let's plan to hit our first timeout and get back on schedule. Before we do that, I do want to remind you guys that today is 9/11, obviously. We know this is a very significant day in our history, and I want to offer all my thoughts and prayers to everybody that might have been affected. Obviously the whole nation was affected, clearly, but anybody that might have personally been affected by the tragedy, the terrorist attack that day. And then obviously, we want to take this time to kind of, remember anyone that was affected by that event. But kind of leads you to think, and I'm not going to get into politics, obviously, this week it's just been a number of things going on. So that being said, I just want to remind everybody, man, just be a good person, right? You know what I mean? Again, not trying to dive into all this stuff, but I think we just are kind of in a point in time where just people just are just making rash, terrible decisions over things that just dumb, man. And at the end of the day, we're all just people, man, and we all should just try to treat others the way we want to be treated. But anyway, just wanted to throw that out there before we hit this first time out right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art.
It's leaffilter.com/country for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. All right, I got pulled up right here on the stream again. We are streaming live on our YouTube page at the Miller's Edge. Again, this is according to Chris Doering, right? So this is his list. And I guess he is somewhat of a Bama hater, whatever you want to call it. But he's got Bama at 12, Chase. Any thoughts on that? You were Reed, man. Any thoughts on seeing Bama at 12 in the SEC? Football power rankings entering week three. Obviously, we know the game against Florida State. We knew how that went. I thought week two, the response was about as good as you'd hope, right? Coming out against ULM again. Clearly understand it's ULM. You guys know we take that into consideration. But we talked about all the positives that we were looking for or that we wanted to see, and we saw them. So I think that at least instilled a little bit of confidence. But 12, Chase, I mean, you think it's a little disrespectful? Or you think we still need to continue to prove it?
I feel like it's a little bit disrespectful. For example, for like Ole Miss, like they beat Kentucky. Let's be for real here. Kentucky hasn't been relevant for a long time. And I get 1 through 5. I respect it. But it's a little questionable with Vanderbilt. I think Missouri, struggled a little bit with Kansas. A&M mm-hmm. has been kind of up and down. But I think if Alabama can beat Wisconsin, and in a very defining way, I think they'll mm-hmm. be back in the fold, because it's, I don't think it's like a defiant like SEC like big dog right now, because LSU struggled with Clemson and then they struggled with La Tech last weekend, so it's kind of up and down with everybody. But I think Alabama still has a chance. That's kind of the fun part of college football. It's never over till it's over. So but yeah, I think this is bulletin board for Alabama right now, and really just use it as a motivating factor. But I think it's disrespectful because, like, Vandy, like, really? That's what we're still doing that?
Look, I can't play this on here because definitely the language. But speaking of Vandy, Vandy's program is so interesting right now. I mean, you got Pavia from last year. We saw the talking he was doing, even in the offseason, whatever the case might be, right? We know that he's kind of brought – he has brought some life into the program, right? It's a little bit different when it comes to Vanderbilt right now. This has a different vibe to it. And then yesterday, I get done doing the show, and I don't know how much you guys keep up with streaming, right? That's kind of like the new thing. Everybody streams. Not like, okay, yes, I know we stream, but I mean like these streamers that walk around with a camera 24/7 or have these big marathons, stuff like that. But anyway, iShowSpeed, who's like one of the biggest streamers in the world, he's on like a USA tour. He's got a bus. He's literally just going all across the country. He made a pit stop at Vanderbilt, Chase. And literally yesterday, he was spending time with the Commodore football team alongside Theo Vaughn. It was the most random thing I think I just saw on Twitter. I just was like, hold on. Speed, Theo Vaughn, and then they're giving these guys a pep talk, and I would love to play the pep talk. It ain't happening, though, because, I mean, he literally just his pep talk literally was basically just say, blank, wait, something about get on the blank field and blank them up. And he just kept repeating, and he started, you know, slapping everybody's shoulder pads. I mean, here's a picture, by the way, on the stream if you wonder what I'm talking about. Very random. Anyway, but look, I mean, I guess I kind of like the fact that they've turned it around. The way those guys were talking, I'm not going to lie. You know, we always joke about them being a bunch of, like, scholars and stuff, right? But the way they were, the guys I was listening to in the video, though, I'm like, hey, they might have, maybe they got a couple dudes that we kind of talk about, the guys that you need on your team. Probably not really, but anyway, they didn't really sound like a bunch of scholars in my opinion. Anyway, but looking at this list, though, Chase, I agree with what you're saying. I mean, you look at LSU, Oklahoma, Georgia, Tennessee, again, that quarterback has been playing some good football for those guys. Texas, a little underwhelming right now. South Carolina, obviously, I think they're, you know, pretty decent. I agree with you on the Ole Miss thing. The biggest thing for me, Chase, is I was shocked in that Kentucky game, who, to throw this out there, he's got Kentucky dead last, right? And he's even got your Bulldogs, who had that big win, was it last week? All right, good for them. But anyway, their defense, man, last season, Ole Miss had like the top defense in the country. And I was just bragging about it, not bragging about it, but saying like, man, I mean, for the people that are talking about Pete Golden, I mean, like, look what he's doing at Ole Miss, man. He's got a good unit over there. Then I turn on the Kentucky game, Chase. I'm watching. I'm like, bro, I mean, this is like, what? Like, they're just, they didn't look physical. Kentucky just driving down the football field. I wasn't really impressed. And I get it still early on in the season, but I do agree with you. Maybe slip them back a little bit. I don't know. To be fair, though, if I did rearrange this, I would maybe move Alabama, at least as of now. I wouldn't have a problem moving them up a few spots, or moving us up, I should say. Moving us up a few spots, right? I don't think I'd probably go higher than probably 8 right now, only because I feel like we still just got to keep proving it, right? And I think, again, that's all going to come. And just as a reminder, this is literally one guy's power rings. This isn't like ESPN in general or their computer. So this is like one guy just came up with this. I just saw this and I thought it was interesting when I saw Bam at 12. I'm like, damn, Mike. I at least thought that, you know, the week 2 game kind of was a step in the right direction, but I guess it didn't move the needle too much for some people. If you said 12 after week 1, fair, but after week 2, 73-0, I know it's ULM, but look at these. Here's the other thing, Chase. I think we need to, at least from my perspective, we're so tough on Bama. Think about this, though. We keep making the comment, oh, it's only ULM, which I do agree. It is only ULM. It didn't move the needle enough for, not enough, I shouldn't say that. We knew going into it wasn't going to be able to really truly move the needle completely. We already knew that. But at the same time, Chase, let's look around the country and look at all these other teams that played their cupcakes, right, in the last week or two. I didn't see a whole bunch of others, you know, scoring 73 and putting up goose eggs. If anything, look at Georgia. Was it Austin Peay? That was not some dominant performance, right? We're talking about Wisconsin. They struggled with Middle Tennessee. And, hell, I mean, really, like you said, I mean, a number of these teams, Clemson, I know they're not in the conference, but they struggled with the Troy looked like they were going to win the game in the first half. So I will say this, man, I think Alabama, if we can take the approach, and I think Kalen DeBoer is really trying to enforce this, if you keep listening to him when he speaks, he keeps harping on, you know, 1 week at a time. I think it's really resonated with him now that he understands after those, what was it, 5, you know, road losses, whatever, and seeing the reactions, not just from, you know, the local media, not just from the boosters, national, everybody. I think he genuinely understands, like, the room for error is so slim that you have to, like, it's one thing to say, oh, yeah, 1 week at a time. But it's another to truly believe it and live it, right, or one day at a time. And I think if he can keep getting these guys really buy into that, man, I'll be honest, I have confidence we can get back on track. Because, like you mentioned, I mean, you look at some of these other teams in the SEC, you mentioned it. There's not like some true powerhouse, right? So even though I know after week one, we immediately started jumping to, oh, damn, well, that was Florida State, and we still got to play this team, this team, this team, start listing all these teams. I think it'll work itself out, Chase. And I think if we take our time and lock in when we get a time, I think it might be all right. But obviously, I'm not going to jump ahead there. Let's do this. Let's hit a quick timeout. We come back. We'll start talking a little bit more about Wisconsin. We are open on the phone lines, 205-342-9904. If you guys want to jump in, give your thoughts, put your guys' questions over here on the chat. Again, at the Miller's Edge on YouTube. Check us out on the stream or Facebook at Tide 100.9 as well. And you can always leave us ad messages. I promise I got the email pulled up. I got it fixed now so I can make sure that we get any of those. So if you guys have that Tide 100.9 app, which I encourage you guys to download, is completely free. You can always drop an app message right there for us, and we'll read it right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. We'll be right back. Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-91.
Crimson Tide, sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation.
TuscaloosaThread.com. Your West Alabama high school football score updates are presented by Bevel State Community College, Congressman Robert Adderholt, and Taco Casa.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian.
95.3 The Fair
and Sports Radio Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
95.3 The Fair
and Sports Radio Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC
are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season
to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 95.3thefair.com,
on the app,
or the Tide 100.9 app.
Each week,
we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill.
With two locations in Tuscaloosa.
Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best seats in the house.
With 95.3 The Fair
and Sports Radio Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edge Tide 100.9 1230 WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. Again, going to take a little bit of a dive into Wisconsin. Again, that game will be here in Tuscaloosa, 11 a.m. kickoff. So it's definitely an early one. But talked a little bit yesterday about their offense. And then again, we got some news coming out today that they actually will be without their starting quarterback. So that makes 2 years in a row. Talk about what that might mean for this defense in terms of this matchup. But again, just to kind of refresh on Wisconsin, who they are. Again, new offensive coordinator comes in from Kansas and brings them back to, I guess, a little bit more of the pro style, downhill attack, or at least that's what they want to do. But interesting enough, and this is what I was mentioning earlier, like while they want to do that, while you see the two back looks, right, going back to the whole personnel thing, let's refresh you guys again. Remember 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends, first number is running back, second number tight ends. But see some 21 personnel, two back stuff, one tight end, right? What I'm getting at is it's interesting because that's what they want to do, right? But they haven't really done it very effectively. To the point that last week, I was watching the tape from Middle Tennessee yesterday. And the first half, they really struggled to run the football, like traditionally. But you know what gave them some life on the ground, technically, was a play that Alabama saw plenty of against Florida State, the reverse. And I'm trying to pull it up here because I can actually just show you guys on the stream itself a couple of those plays, because they ran a couple of them, and they were big plays in this game. I guess the good news, like, on one hand, you're probably thinking like, oh, crap, like, right, we saw how we defended the reverse against Florida State. However, I'll say this. Normally as a team, man, you know, you at least it's like a cardinal sin. Like, as a football player, you make one mistake, that's fine, right? But if you let it happen again, that's on you. And I would assume that Kane Womack watched the same tape that I watched and immediately said, yeah, we're going to make sure we practice a whole bunch of looks on reverses here in practice and make sure that we have full pursuit of the football, which I'll be honest with you. If you had better pursuit on the football against Florida State, I mean, honestly, those reverses probably wouldn't have been as significant as they were, but it was what it was. But anyways, so you do see some stuff like that. I guess if you want to throw that in the gimmick category, sure, we can do that. But it's interesting. They will get in the gun. I'm curious to see if I need to go back and really pay attention to who was at quarterback at what times in the game. Because, again, with their starting quarterback, Al Billy Edwards, not expected to play, it will be Danny O'Neill, who, if I'm not mistaken, gives you a little bit more in terms of his ability with his legs. But even though they do want to run the football, that's what they would like to do, they're not afraid to throw it. And you see them get into the gun, right? But it's interesting the way they get. I mean, it's a lot of like play action type stuff. They're trying to get into play action is what they want to do. But here's the thing, guys. I just don't think they even have the athletes, even if they wanted to. I don't really see that. I mean, our secondary with the talent that we have, I don't even know. So if it was me, the way I'm trying to like play this out in my head, obviously they're going to want to run the football. So I think first and foremost, we got to gear up for that, because I know they're going to turn on the tape and they're going to see, hey, how did Florida State have success, right? And they're going to see everything that they did. They're going to look at the reverses. They're going to look at, and obviously I don't see them trying to, you know, implement everything because they don't have the same person like quarterback. But what I'm getting at is I think they're definitely going to try to establish a run, because I'll be honest with you, I think that's really their only hope. If you make this Wisconsin team one-dimensional, I think it'd get pretty bad for them offensively. I just don't think they have the skill guys to even be able to play that type of game with us. That being said, what do most teams go to when they understand that they can't match up physically with a team? Gimmicky stuff, trying to throw you off with the eyes, right? So I fully expect them to implement a lot of that stuff. I know they're going to try to run the ball, but if we can, you know, shut that down, which I think is going to be key in this game, make them one-dimensional, just expect them to try to mix things up, try to attack you in maybe some different ways you might not have seen, because that's what a lot of teams do. But I'll be honest with you, not too worried about them offensively. I mean, again, you guys, I'll put it on the screen here in a minute, but they've got a lot of question marks. I will say this, defensively, though, they do have some older guys in the secondary. Doesn't really concern me with our receiver room. But I will say, though, I mean, they do have some edge guys. I want to say they have some depth there. I think they might have even gone to the portal there. Just knowing our pass pro, man, I think that's just going to be important, right? Obviously, we always talk about it, you know, establishing our running game, which I think that's evident. But I do just wonder in terms of will they try to, you know, put pressure on Ty like that. And if that's the case, I just know as a defensive guy myself, we always look for weaknesses, right? And you look at so far through two games, right tackle has definitely been that. Now, we know Michael Carroll is competing against Wilkin, but I'll be honest with you, Wilkin definitely is a little bit of a liability. So when we do drop back to pass, I would not be shocked if they definitely try to test that. But I'll dive a little bit more into Wisconsin defensively in a minute. But first, we're going to hit this timeout. We come back, we'll do just that, and I'll get this pulled up for our stream folks here. That way you guys can see. Again, if you guys want to watch, that's at the Miller's Edge on YouTube. I'll pull up some of this tape from this Middle Tennessee game, show you exactly what I'm talking about here. Plus, I want to hear from you guys. 205-342-9904 is the number to the program. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
You, your rewarding career in IT awaits. That's mycomputercareer.edu, an elite CompTIA certification partner. Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the VA benefits.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
It's a dry forecast through early next week. A sunny sky this afternoon. The high today around 90. Clear tonight, below 67. For tomorrow and Saturday, the weather hot and dry. Lots of sunshine both days. Highs between 90 and 93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 84 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. Looking a little bit at this Wisconsin film, we got it pulled up on the stream here. And what it was this reverse. It came in like the middle of the third quarter. But right now, 14-10, Wisconsin, again, struggling against Middle Tennessee at home. And I don't even remember the rushing stats at this point, but they were not really running the football effectively. If anything, they're having more success through the air. You see Danny O'Neill 15-18 at this point in the game for 137 yards, one touchdown. His interception came on. He tried to throw a screen and tried to force it. Like, got bobbled up and defense lineman came down with it. But these are the plays that really gave them some juice. They end up running a reverse. They run it out of a trips look, right, to the field. Kind of have a speed option. They sell it with the speed option, but you've got the number two receiver running back for the reverse, takes it and ends up running it down. I think he ends up scoring off of it too. Yeah, so definitely expect to probably see some stuff like that come up. You go back and watch Florida State and see they scored off of reverse, had success running stuff like that. Wouldn't be shocked there. So there you can see it from the end zone view, but showing speed option, everybody's running one way. And I was telling the chat, the best way to stop these things, again, not everybody's just going to have the instinct to immediately put their foot in the ground and just shift, right? But having a stay-at-home guy, like, we used to always get looks like, you know, it's funny, I haven't really seen people running a whole bunch. I'm kind of wondering why. I guess we ran a form with it, actually, like throwbacks. If you go back and watch that Jeremy Bernard touchdown, it actually was a form of a throwback, if I'm not mistaken. I want to say Ty was rolling out to his right, and they had Bernard running like an over route, the backside, ended up hitting him back there. He's wide open. But I remember when I was here, there was like an epidemic chase of throwbacks. But it was more so kind of like, remember what we did with the, I think that's what we ran to score with O.J. Howard in those national championship games, right? But it always helps when you have a backside player like this defensive end right here, right? Normally when everybody is running down the line like that, right, your natural instinct is, oh, I want to go chase this quarterback down, right? That's what they want you to do. And if you have a really good athlete, yeah, maybe you can. But the reality is, I mean, when they're running the speed option type deal, I mean, he's, you have a better chance of running some down if he's kind of faking it on a regular, like read type play, right? Because he's stationary for a second, he's reading, sitting there. Speed option, he takes the football and he immediately is running, right? Probably not going to run that down. Plus, like I was saying earlier too, you have all these other guys running to the football. But two things need to happen here just for if this was Alabama seeing this, right? Number one, having a defensive end like this stay back, right, for contain and just playing it safe. And normally, again, other games, if you're not expecting this kind of stuff, you can be a little bit more aggressive. But knowing people have a history of running reverses or throwbacks, stuff like that, you always just tell this backside end, play it patient, right? You're not. It's not a loaf. I know we saw a lot of loafs against Florida State. That would not be a loaf. You're doing your job. It's almost like a little safety on line of scrimmage here. That way, you got somebody at least, even if he doesn't necessarily make the play, because sometimes that's a hard play with this guy running full speed, and you just put your foot in the ground, you're a defensive end, that's a slot receiver, whatever the case may be. It's not necessarily you're going to make the play, but you could at least make an attempt, slow him down, give these other guys who are putting their foot in the ground and redirecting a chance to make it. And then also just kind of shouting things out. Like these backers, as soon as they see that, you start screaming reverse, man. And that way people know, right, we need to change direction, right? And then head back the other direction. So just wanted to show that because, again, obviously Florida State had success with that. Wisconsin had success. And I think they ran, matter of fact, I think they ran a couple of them in this game. And that really, if you look at the rushing numbers, I got to go back and look at the numbers, but they didn't really run the football effectively. And it probably explains why they ended up going out of the gun a lot more. I know I talked about all that pro personnel stuff, which this still is a – is that a fullback in there? Which they do run some fullback stuff. He's like an H-back. But anyway, so 12 personnel, could call it 21, I guess, if you wanted. But they threw the ball a lot more in this game. Do I expect them to have that game plan against us? We'll see. I personally think they'll try to run the football. Even though they haven't ran it great, I think them looking at, I guess, Florida State's game plan and how much they ran the ball, I think they test us there, personally, right? I don't think they think they can really match up with our guys. On the other side, though, again, I mentioned their secondary. There you go. Actually, let me just finish this right. Here's the other reverse that they ran, right? Get into it in a different way. Hold on, let me pull that back up. And again, for our radio listeners, I promise I'll explain this as good as I can. That way you guys can see it. But here you see them get it to this reverse a different way. Again, that's what I was trying to tell you. They did not run the football very effectively. So what do? They start getting the reverse and gimmick stuff. And that's what I'm trying to tell you guys. And this is against Middle Tennessee. So I'm doing this breakdown because I know you guys like football breakdowns. But this team is not a great team. That being said, I'm not overlooking them. I'm just giving you guys a heads up. All right, so this reverse, they get to out of a really tight bunch here, right? You see these guys really bunched in. Looks like they're about to get to some form of I got it in 2x speed. I can't tell you exactly. It's going so fast. They're trying to look. They're making it look like it's some form of did he pull? Regardless, you see them. They operate out of a bunch this time, right? They fake it like he's giving a zone read type deal, right? You see this guy coming. We call those guys sniffer coming across the formation and the receiver coming back for the reverse. And you see, again, they scored again. So they had two touchdowns off of reverses in this game. So best believe they'll throw that out there against us. However, I think we'll be much better equipped for it. So there's that. I guess everybody's running reverses nowadays, Chase. People can't just do traditional stuff anymore. They got to get all this gimmick type crap. And then later on in the game, they finally found some more success. Again, setting up play action. That's really what they want to do. They want to run the football and set up play action, I guess, throwing these reverses. So offensively, that's what they got. Defensively, I'll be honest with you guys. I'll be honest with you. I know they got some players that are some decent guys. Again, secondary, they got some veteran guys. I want to say a couple of their edge guys. They got a little bit of a rotation there. They were pretty active. But with their two opponents, it's hard for me to tell who's actually, I guess, guys, because they hadn't really played anybody. You see here, I mean, it's first and 10. I mean, they're bringing pressure, right? Obviously, I know Middle Tennessee's playing from behind. It's the end of the game. But still, you just see they have that ability. But I'll be honest, nothing really stood out to me, Chase, that I would just say is like, I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm really looking at. I always pay more attention to the offensive side of things anyway. But when I watch their defense, I'll be honest with you, they gave up some shots down the field early on. I'll be honest with you, even with the two safeties that they have, I think are veteran guys. I fully expect our receiving core to eat, man. I don't think their skill guys can really hang with us, man. Like, you see it here early in the game. I don't know, man. One really impressed. So we'll see. We'll see. Let's do this. Let's sidetrack here for a second, because I know we got a couple minutes here. I know we got a couple app messages, not app, but chat messages that I missed. We'll hit one of these and we'll continue hour number two with some more of that film. But Fromm asked an interesting one. He said, do you think Bama's roster is still in transition? Personally, I don't think so. I mean, I wouldn't label us in transition. I mean, if you think about it, they had a full year to recruit their guys now. They brought those guys. I know they're still young, so I guess, you know, they're still – the guys that they really brought here are still young. I understand that point. But the guys that were going to leave, they left. And the guys that chose to stay, they stayed. So I would not consider it really in transition. Personally, for me, I wouldn't. I mean, unless you're saying until he gets all his guys, like say like another year, say 2 years down the road where this freshman class, which is technically his, because remember his first year, the class that he brought in really was Coach Saban's guys. Remember that was like Ryan Williams and those guys. But say 2 years down the road when this group is senior, they are seniors. But I don't even, but to me, I wouldn't even really consider this like transitional right now. But if you want to go, it depends on how you look at it. Personally, I don't really think it's a transition. I mean, and he's able to even bring some of his guys. I mean, look at Bernard. He brought Bernard. He brought Parker Brailsford. I don't know. Personally, I don't really think so. But if someone said maybe still a little bit, then maybe next year, really, or then the third, no. I wouldn't be mad at it. But personally, I don't really think so. Chase, what about you? Do you think this is still in a – you think Bama's still in a transition in terms of his roster or no?
It's hard to say. You know, kind of with where Alabama is right now, I think it's more of just bold against what Kalen DeBoer wants for UA. I think he has some players that can be dominant, but because we're in a new era of college football, like, you can look at any college roster right now, there's still question marks on the offensive, defensive end, and I don't think there's ever going to be a complete, like, when you played or players before you, I don't think we'll ever see that ever again, but I don't think it's a bad thing per se that we're in transition, because that means we get to be better, right? So I think there's still some missing pieces on both sides of the ball, but I think right now the roster is still great. There's still things to accomplish, but I don't think there's a bad term when it comes to like a team is in a transitional period, because that means something's better rather than just being stale, you know, because there's so many other teams in college football where they're like, oh, another season, okay, we got this cupcake game, oh, we're going to get beat by this team, that team, okay, let's look for the offseason. No, this is UA. They look to win every year, and it doesn't change no matter the coach, the president, it's winning always. So I think the roster that you see every single Saturday, that's something to be proud of.
Yeah, no, and I agree. That's why I was saying, I guess it just depends on how you look at it. If you're saying, like, in a transition to get, like, his guys, yeah, technically, you know, that you're still a year, technically probably two, out from really having like all his, you know what I mean? Like the remaining guys from Coach Saban's, you know, time than having his guys. But to me, I think having 2 years with this group, even if they were still from Coach Saban, I still think at this point, at least through this year and after this year, they've transitioned to being kind of your guys. Cause think about it. A lot of those guys were really young from Coach Saban. So they know you more than they really even knew him. So I guess it's really just how you look at it, but that's a good question from Fromm in the chat here on YouTube. All right, let's hit this top of the hour break. When we come back, we keep on rolling on this Thursday edition. Again, we are previewing Wisconsin. We'll talk about these keys and more coming up. Again, we are open on the phone lines. If anybody wants to hop on there, 205-342-9904 is number. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's my
Chauncey Bolaños.
Leo Rivas came in clutch for the Mariners.
And the pitch on the way to Leo. Not Buddy swinging. Fly ball. Deep right field down the line. Walk it off, Leo Rivas. A walk-off two-run home run. Goodbye, baseball. The Mariners sweep the Cardinals in the three-game series. The Mariners win it 4-2.
Mariners Radio Network on the call. The Astros defeated the Blue Jays 3-2, and Carlos Correa hit his 200th career home run. Seattle is one game back of the Astros in the AL West, and they have a 1.5-game lead on the Rangers for the final wildcard spot in the AL, while the Tigers crush the Yankees 11-1. In the NFL, Week 2 kicks off with Thursday Night Football, as the Green Bay Packers will be hosting the Washington Commanders, and kickoff is at 8:15 Eastern Time.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping.
Call 800-273-8255 or visit vetsforhope.com. Sponsored by the Partners of Alabama's Challenge and the Alabama Broadcasters Association.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge
with New York Giants legend
and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
The Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. And we just answered a question here in the chat. Again, we are live on YouTube, and it was asking about Jalen Mbakwe and if we thought that they were saving him for Georgia. And obviously, you guys on the stream heard my answer, but for our radio listeners, I just said, no, I don't think they're saving him for anything. I mean, I just think the reality is, man, I mean, we're deep at the wide receiver position. And, you know, in college football and NFL, man, I mean, it's about playing your best guys. And you just got to ask yourself the question, I mean, who would he play over? Like, and I pose that question to you guys in the chat and in our radio listeners as well. Like, you know, because I know Melvin mentioned how, you know, dynamic he is. And, yeah, you know, having versatility and having a dynamic skill set definitely, you know, gives coaches reasons to try to get you out there and find ways to, you know, get you on, you know, some type of something, right? Which I think that's why you see him, you know, returning and fielding punts and kicks. But in terms of the receiver position, I mean, he's not playing over Jeremy Bernard, who's, you know, clearly wide receiver one, most polished guy you got. Ryan Williams, who, you know, had a, you know, struggle in week one, but you know what he's about. And you're also paying him $1.8 million. Isaiah Horton, who you're paying $700,000 and who's a big body guy. That I think is definitely going to, you know, make some plays down the stretch at some point. Rico Scott, you know, who's physical, You see him blocking down the field. See him take advantage of the opportunities that he's got. You're not going to play him over him. You're not playing him over Lazier Brooks, right, who just got his first opportunity really against ULM, and he really did. He really impressed in that game. So it's not about saving him, Bakwe. They just they don't mean it. He's got competition there. I do think though, if he can stay the course, right? I think if he can stay the course, and if he sees it through, I mean, Bernard will be gone after this year. Horton will be gone after this year. I mean, you look at it, you'll then have Ryan Williams, Lotsier Brooks. You still got young guys. Rico Scott will be back. But I do think, I mean, he at least is in competition for, I mean, and even if he doesn't win one of those, you know, top three spots, he's going to be like first man in, I would assume, unless you talk about Derek Meadows, who's got a totally different skill set. But you get what I'm saying? I don't know. But right now, to answer your question, I'm not going to spend too much longer on it because I know I already answered for you. But no, not waiting for him. And I know you mentioned maybe just packages. You could try to maybe, I mean, he played quarterback in high school. Maybe have a wildcat package or some type of gimmicky thing because you know he probably can throw the ball a little bit. I'm sure you could come up with something, sure. And I think he'll get – I'm not saying he won't get snaps. I mean, I think he'll get some snaps here and there. Like, I mean, you can roll guys at wide receiver. If anything, you want fresh legs. I just know you got five guys that are already in front of him. So, I mean, how many snaps? I don't know. But I do know, again, knock on wood. But so we saw week one, injuries do happen. So, I mean, just know. I think – I mean, they definitely are pleased with where, you know, his progress. Don't get me wrong, but – just right now, I just don't think there's really anybody that you would say, oh, we want to play him in front of them right now. Right now, I mean, you got five guys that, I mean, I feel like are quality players, man. And then six if you count him. So, yeah, that's my thoughts on Mbakwe. 205-342-9904 is the number. Let's go to the phone lines. You got Tommy up first. Tommy, welcome in.
Hey, Preston. How are you today?
I'm good, Tommy. How are you?
Can't complain.
Good deal, man.
What people say, we saving players? No. His time will come. He'll get a play. If you get 10 plays in Saturday, make the most of your 10 plays. Do something positive. Win the moment. You do that, the coaches, you'll take notes of that and practice hard. I was real impressed with Saturday that everybody and intensity. The young guys was hungry Saturday night. Mm-hmm. I know the game was way out of hand, but hey, they played with a purpose and a mission. When you do that, you don't get playing time. Because somebody don't get nicked up, or somebody don't cramp up during the game, especially Saturday, it says you'll be in the 90s. So, yeah. Be ready.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all simple. Yeah. And today, those football teams don't have the depth as they once did. So, you know, the opportunity will come.
Absolutely. You always got to stay ready, Tommy. That's why I was saying. I mean, you know, stuff will come up, and he's a good player. I mean, like they'll get him opportunities if they present themselves. I just know, like. The question is, did I think we were saved him? I just know for a fact we're not saving anybody. If anything, we learned last week, man, they're not saving anybody. They want as many people to go out there and show what they can do because they're looking to play whoever is willing to and able to step up, right? I mean, we learned that. Look, they're starting our starting quarterback. I mean, look at Ty Simpson. I mean, he's the guy, but they said, look, second quarter, we want Austin Mack. We want to get a look at Austin Mack. And I'm not mad at it. I'll be honest with you. I think I heard A.J. McCarron say he had mentioned on some podcast, I think, that he didn't like that. He didn't like the idea of – he's like, why would you name a starter if you're going to do something like that? To me, and maybe – and it's probably different from the quarterback perspective, so now I respect his opinion, right? He played the position at a very high level. But personally, I viewed it as – I thought that sent a message to everybody because if they're like, hey, we can take the starting quarterback out, even though, it wasn't his fault week one. He didn't play that bad. He did a lot of good stuff too. But if they could not use him as an example, but everybody else sees that, hey, man, you know, Ty, they're letting another guy get some work in there. That means everybody's job is, you know, technically in competition. And I just thought personally, that's not a bad idea to try to spark some, you know, competitive nature in your guys. And look how it turned out, Tommy. We do know it wasn't that it was some game time decision, because Coach DeBoer said he talked to the quarterbacks, I think, on Tuesday or whenever it was. So they knew going into this game that was how it was going to be. And look how it turned out. Ty was perfect. Austin Mack was, you know, really good and had some, you know, really good consistency. Even Keelan Russell played good. So there might have been a method to his madness in terms of doing that.
Well, and to show you that Mack got quality playing time against a first-team defense of the other team. Mm-hmm. He wasn't coming in the late in the fourth quarter or third, going against second or third team. The other team had gave up the game. No, they were still putting effort out, and he performed well. In my opinion, that would give him confidence. You know, I can do this. I can run these sets of plays.
Yeah.
I mean,
when I was going to say, too, I mean, we always talked about, I remember people used to complain about Coach Saban not playing enough guys. That way they didn't have that experience. So, if anything, I mean, I agree with what you're saying. Like, if whatever reason you do need a guy like Austin Mack to go in there, get him. Like you said, I mean, I know it's ULM, but that's a first-team defense. He went in there early, got some meaningful snaps. I didn't have a problem with it. I looked at it more as a positive, but it was interesting hearing AJ's stance on it being kind of the opposite. But again, I respect it because he actually played quarterback. He would know better about how it is a quarterback. I just know as an edge guy, if you do that with me or any other position, that's going to light a spark and basically say, hey, we got to get our stuff together because nobody's job is just safe. And I think that's why it showed up. That's probably why guys played a lot harder too, not only because of the disrespect, but they probably also knew and realized, hey, this coaching staff, they ain't playing around no more. They're not just letting stuff slide. And I could lose my job.
Well, I understand AJ's point of view, because if your quarterback's hot or clicking, you don't want to take him out. But we had, 28-0, 21. And you knew, or me being a, you know, armchair football fan watching in the stadium, you knew Louisiana Monroe wasn't coming back. So, I mean, there's a lot of plus and minuses, but I mean, I guarantee you, everybody's practicing better this week. Hey, if I work hard this week, I might get a play in 2 minutes. If I can show me even more what I can do. So, I think it's a win-win for everybody.
That's how I viewed it. And I think it kind of lit that fuse of competition under a lot of guys. And I think we just need to, the biggest thing is moving forward, man, is build off of it. I don't think they continue that, you know, like for a long period. I mean, I think you see how this Wisconsin game goes. I think obviously they plan on, you know, a little bit more of a typical approach in this Wisconsin game. But again, watching them on tape, I mean, I know the spread's like what, almost 3 scores, something like that. I think there's a good chance if we carry our momentum from last week, man, this could be one of those games. And that you get some other guys in there a little bit later, but which is good, though, because then you go into the bye week, right, reassess and get ready for Georgia. So I think everything's lining up, Tommy. I think everything should be all right, brother.
All right, man. You have a good day. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Roll Tide, buddy.
Yes, sir. It sounds good, Tommy. Roll Tide, man. All right, good deal. We got to hit this first time out of hour number two. When we come back, we'll keep on rolling, talk a little bit more about
.com/country for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
It's a dry forecast through early next week. A sunny sky this afternoon. The high today around 90. Clear tonight, below 67. Tomorrow and Saturday, the weather hot and dry. Lots of sunshine both days. Highs between 90 and 93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 86 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back into the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. Let's go back to the phone lines to stay on track with that. Then I'll get back in and give a little bit more details on Wisconsin's defense here in a moment. But first, we got Ram up next. Ram, welcome in.
Hey, Christian. Doing good, my man?
I'm good, Ram. How are you, brother?
I'm doing good. I'm getting my steps in. I wanted to ask you a question. Is the red shirt rule still four games?
To my knowledge, yes. I haven't... Chase, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure everything's still the same with like the redshirt rules being the four-game rule.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
And you couldn't, if you got redshirted, say, as a before your junior year, it would probably be a injury redshirt, or can you be redshirted then?
You said, could you be redshirt? I'm sorry, it broke up for a second.
Okay.
What was it?
Big Woods.
No, you're fine.
If you played... You there, Christian?
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm waiting on you. You said if you played, then you stopped talking, I think.
If you played your freshman and sophomore year, got hurt at the end of your sophomore year, and you're going to be out for the season, that wouldn't count against you. That would be a injury redshirt, right?
So, okay, so the rule is you can play up to four games, not including the bowl games, right, and still redshirt. So that means you can play four regular season games, and I'm pretty sure you also could participate in postseason play and still be redshirted. And then if you're talking about injuries – if you get injured, that's like a medical red shirt. So that would be different. So it's technically, if you played more than four games, but you suffered an injury, like a season ending injury, you could then apply, I believe, for a medical red shirt. Now, obviously, say that happened like at the end of the year, I don't think they'll give you that whole year back. I think it has to fall within a certain frame. And I'm just going off of what I'm pretty sure is the case. I don't have anything pulled up and I don't know 100% certain, but I'm pretty sure that's how that would work. And that's why you see some guys, they have a regular red shirt, then they might have gotten injured the next year and they got a medical red shirt, and that's how they end up sometimes going on year six and sometimes even year seven, I think, because, like, you know, stuff like that. But yeah, those are a little bit different situations, Ram.
I was just curious about that. I knew y'all would probably know. I asked you last week who you're going to put your – and you probably already said this. I've been out of pocket. But you're going to put your binoculars on the linebackers. What'd you give them?
On the – you said – say that one more time. The linebackers?
Yeah, what grade did you give them? Considering the opponent.
Let me think. Definitely was much better. It's hard to say. I mean, like, I thought they played better. I mean, I know Justin Jefferson had the interception. That was nice. I mean, if you're including even the young guys, I mean, QB Reese in there, I mean, he made an impact coming in, forced a fumble. I think he had the fumble recovery as well. So, I mean, as a group as a whole, I mean, I don't – giving them a grade against ULM is kind of tough, I'll be completely honest with you, but – I thought they played much better. I thought they played, you know, a lot faster. They didn't look nearly as timid or hesitant. They played more physical. I know there's a couple of plays where I saw them really coming down and, you know, kind of trying to blow things up. So I definitely think it was better. And I think it's a step in the right direction. I don't know if I'd give it like a letter grade, to be honest with you, but I think they did a much better job than week one.
Improved, but yeah, I thought so too. One comment about Doreen. He's probably mad because he didn't get recruited by Alabama.
Oh, yeah. Which guy's that?
Doreen. That they put Alabama 12 in the SEC. Right here.
Maybe I'm hearing you wrong. I'm not sure who you're referring to.
The Chris Noering.
You're talking about from the power rankings thing.
Yeah.
Chris, I thought you were talking about like a current player. That's why I was confused. I was like, I don't know who you're
talking about.
No, I'm sorry. No, you're fine. Yeah, probably. Maybe. I don't know. Some people just have Bama fatigue too, man. It is what it is. It's no big deal. I thought it was interesting. 12, I was like, it might be a little steep.
I did too. We all agree with that, but I'll let you go. I know other people want to get in and keep that gate closed to those dogs.
Yes, sir. That's right. Appreciate you, Ram. Thank you. Let's keep rolling. We got Ellis up next. Ellis, welcome in.
Thank you.
What's up, Ellis? I don't know if all you guys are like walking on a trail with bad service or what, but Chase, is it just me or everybody's calls sound like low? Or
I don't think it should be us. Maybe people are just taking a nice little walk.
No, I think everybody just calling us while they're in the middle of the woods or something. Ellis, I'm not gonna lie, it's a little tough to hear you, brother.
Well, I know. Yeah. We didn't show no dog. Like, we're not going
to play.
They punched us in the mouth. We're through.
Chase, let's do this. Chase, I don't even think he knew he was on the phone line. Am I tripping, guys? Was he talking? He sounded like he was having a whole different conversation. All right. So that kind of was confusing. Let's do this. We got Raheem from Birmingham. I think that might be new. We'll go ahead and take Raheem real quick and keep it rolling. Welcome in.
What's up, Christian? How you doing, man?
What's good, brother? All right, finally, somebody who's actually serious with some service, brother. What's good? What's good, bro?
Not much, man. I'm a first-time caller. I watch your show a lot. I love your show. I love your game as a player. I'd watch all your games. Alabama, you are very aggressive, smart. Linebacker and play the game like it's supposed to be played, and I love that.
Man, I appreciate that, bro. Thank you. Thanks for calling, man.
Yes, sir. I'm glad I could get through. The comment about A.J. McCarron and him not liking another quarterback coming in, well, when you compete, when it's a competition at practice, you, even though you have a starter, you still want the other players' hard work to pay off. I think that's another thing that went into them being able to get playing time, because they're practicing just as hard as if they was to be the starter, because this is a long season. It's the SEC. It's a rough schedule. Anything can happen, and you want those players to be ready at any time. So with them being able to get playing times when you up 28 to nothing, 35 to nothing, to work their craft and to build confidence, because once again, it's a long season, I don't see nothing wrong with that. And another thing is, a lot of players that's, you know, coming into the game, it's just showing that, hey, we appreciate y'all work. Even though we have starters, you still are, this still is a brotherhood. So we still want your hard work to show off. So I feel like that's another thing that went into play, and it'll only make us better as the season goes on down the line.
Yeah, I agree 100% what you're saying. I mean, because I do know, even being in those positions, right? I mean, I had to wait my turn, and I know, you know, behind the scenes, I was working my tail off, whether it was on the scout team, you know, whatever the case, many times, you know, I even got any opportunities, special teams, like, you know, I was really, you know, just proud and just excited for that. And I just knew I wanted to go out there and just, you know, prove that I deserved that and more. So I agree with you, man. Rewarding guys, especially the ones that are doing it right and practicing hard, I think that does kind of, not only, like you said, like, you know, the competition side of things, but it also, it almost like sparks those guys and motivates them to keep working, right? Because I will say, I did, you know, some people used to say this with Coach Saban, I mentioned it earlier, you know, like, we didn't play a whole bunch of guys. I know, whether it was because we were so worried about keeping our numbers looking right or whatever the case may be. But I do think from an experience perspective, I thought that was one thing that actually worked well for the staff last year. If you remember from like week one, I mean, they're rotating like secondary guys. I'd never really seen that. Offensive linemen, I think that was more so they were actively kind of competing. But I think if you look at the secondary group, they rotated so many guys last year that part of the reason they have so much quality depth this year, because a lot of those guys, got, not even just the starters, but a lot of people got some valuable reps. And No, I think it's cool. Yeah, I think AJ was referring like specifically to a quarterback. Like, you name this guy your starter, why is he going back out there still quote unquote competing? But at the end of the day, I mean, we know how this game works, man. It's about results. And again, Ty was not the problem week one. He played pretty good. But
right.
I don't think it's a problem to also say, let's just put this other guy out there because we know, you know, they give Ty some time to work and he's doing great. It's not going to kill his confidence. If anything, I think it probably pushed him even harder. And if anything, right. that's what you want. You want to keep those guys in that competitive mindset. So I thought it was yeah. fine.
Yes, sir, most definitely. And one more thing before I let you go. I feel like, yeah, it's good to have the update about the injured players and possibly playing this weekend. But me personally, I feel like we should keep the same group that was in last week and let Tim Keenan, Jam, Ryan, let them rest this game. We got a bye week coming by, so we can definitely be fully healthy going into Georgia. And I will like to say, Roll Tide, we finna end that home street for Georgia. I ain't worried about them puppies over there. I'm sorry. That's the Bama and me. I'm sorry. But
hey, no, it's fair. It's fair.
One game at a time, man, and we'll be all right. Only if they can keep it one game at a time, we'll be all right. You know, we can wish the best for the team. I wish the best for the team, but you got to have that one game at a time mentality, and we'll be fine from here on out.
No, I agree 100%. I will say, I think just listening to Coach DeBoer, I think that's kind of been his point of emphasis, you know, ever since week one. I think, look, we're being honest, I think he's even sick of it because he knows, right? I mean, he's a smart dude. Like, you look at it, the biggest flaw so far from this staff, right, they've won big games. Look at the Georgia game last year, going on the road to LSU, right? They've done some really good stuff. But their biggest flaw is the inconsistencies. And a lot of the time, it coming after them doing something really good. Right. So personally, I think, at least from what I've sensed out of him, everything to me screams that this dude himself is sick of it. And I think he's finally kind of taking a little bit more of a different approach. I mean, you heard Ryan Grubb talk about not being, you know, as easy on guys, you know, like he was going into week one. So all signs to me point like they're finally trying to clean that aspect up. And I'm with you. I think if we do that, I think we might end up being all right. But that Georgia game will be telling, bro. You said it best. We'll know more then. I agree with you too. You know, let these guys get healthy, getting out there for Georgia, but going from there. But like you said, one week at a time. Raheem, man, I appreciate you calling in, man. Great stuff, brother. Feel free to hit us up whenever, bro.
I appreciate it, Chris. Yeah, have a good day.
Sir. You too, man. Roll Tide. All right, good deal. Good call, man, and great service. All right, let's hit a timeout. When we come back, I'll talk a little bit more about this Wisconsin defense, giving a little bit more of an inside look on those guys, and we'll keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes a catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks a tackle, scores, scores, scores.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide hit the turf to face the Wisconsin Badgers. Our coverage begins at 8 a.m. on your home for...
President Trump is tuning in. More than 40 million Americans go to Newsmax for news they can trust. Because we are real news for real people.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick reminder about our friends over at R&R Cigars, your ultimate spot for your cigar needs. Again, code Miller's Edge on their website, rnrcigars.com, gets you 20% off. Don't miss out on that deal. Again, 2703 Gary Fitz Street is where you can find the mansion here in Tuscaloosa. They've got over 160 bourbons to choose from as well. And you can't miss out on this, guys. Literally, TVs throughout, wraparound porch. I mean, it's the place to be if you're a big sports fan, especially, man. A bunch of folks that love sports enjoying just that, sports, cigars, and good bourbon, man. So make sure you guys check it out if you haven't, especially if you're in town for game day, man. It's one of those spots you got to stop by. I mean, it's like, kind of like a key piece of Tuscaloosa, right? So if you're ever visiting here, right, go hang out at the mansion. It's a really cool place, man. They converted into a big cigar mansion thing and got the humidor with all those cigars, all those drinks, man. And again, a lot of good people, man. Good times. Again, that is R&R Cigars, the official cigar provider of Alabama football since 2014. Just looking at Wisconsin's defense real quick. Actually, no, before we do that, I just want to throw that question out that Fromm asked just real quick, or read this. In our chat, he had threw this out there because we were talking about the quarterbacks, obviously, you know, Austin Mack coming in the second quarter, Keelan Russell coming in, getting a standing ovation. A lot of people, you know, really excited about him. And Fromm had brought up the question that I had threw out there, you know, months ago, right, about depending on how the season goes, I mean, how does this whole situation play out? Ty has an extra year. You got a young guy in Keelan Russell that everybody's excited about. And now that we've kind of gotten to see all three of those guys take the field in game time action, I think people have a better idea of kind of like, okay, we see the hype about Keelan Russell. Hell, Ty's looking pretty good. He's coming along, right? And he's a vet. It makes that dilemma even more difficult. But some of the answers in the chat, Melvin feels that Russell's future will define DeBoer's success here. So obviously he's probably leaning a little bit more towards maybe leaning in Keelan's direction. But Carlos had a good point too. And this is what I was saying is that even if Ty has a really good year, I think it would just benefit him coming back to college one more year. I just know the jump to the NFL, especially at the quarterback spot, man, like the more college reps you can get, the better off or the better chance you have of making that leap to the NFL and having more success. I'm not saying you can't do a one starting year and done. I mean, yes, guys do that. But typically those guys have like, it's not just they have like a really good year, but they also have like these really high ceilings and things, right? I feel like just when I look at Ty, I think him coming back one more year would really benefit him, right? Because I see, you know, the progress he's already slowly making through 2 weeks of a regular season. I know he's going to continue that over the stretch. Obviously, there's going to be some tougher challenges. But still, I'm just imagining, you know, after one full year of starting, then for him to come back as a starting quarterback, imagine how much more polished he would be in that second year. But then on the flip side, you see Keelan Russell and see you guys finally got to see all that potential we were always talking about, just how natural it is to him. Definitely going to be a discussion to be had. But yeah, I guess we'll have to see. But Carlos also says, I don't see any of them beating out Russell once he learns the playbook. So definitely going to be a dilemma. Now you see why I was bringing that up a few months ago, just because I'm like, man, that definitely could get interesting. But I guess it's probably a good problem to have. Kind of reminds me of like, I know we're jumping the gun way too early, but like Texas with Arch Manning, Quinn Ewers type situation. That could be brewing here in Tuscaloosa. Real quick, because I know we're getting short on time and I want to get the phone lines, just to put a little bit of a cap on Wisconsin's defense. I didn't talk too much about them. I took some time when we were listening to calls to turn on a little bit more tape and kind of get a better idea. Again, in terms of schematically, it's kind of interesting. They run a number of different things, but they do utilize their outside backers a lot. Kind of looks like they run more of that like nickel with the two outside backers type look, what we would call like a nickel rabbits type deal. And again, they've run or shown different looks, but I feel like that comes up a good bit. Two backers out there on the edge spots. But in terms of what they've done this year, like I was saying earlier, it's just hard for me to get a true gauge because they played Miami of Ohio and they played Middle Tennessee. But if you look at what they've done, I will say defense has been much more impressive than offense, right? Defensively, they only gave up, I want to say they've only given up 10 total points. And I think they held Miami of Ohio scoreless, and then the 10 points came from Middle Tennessee. I was looking up their numbers. I think they're averaging, in terms of stopping the run, 33 yards or so a game. So obviously they've done a nice job with that. But again, Miami of Ohio, Middle Tennessee. We're talking about Alabama here with much more firepower than those two teams. So probably would take that stat with not necessarily a grain of salt because you do want to tip your hat. I mean, you know, it's still you got to go out there and still stop the run, but you guys get what I'm saying. And then I think that ends up being like 1 point something yards per carry. So stopping the run, they've been great. trying to get back to their ways. You know, you look at Wisconsin having, you know, some of those good defense. I know I played Wisconsin back in 2015 when they had TJ Watt. And what's funny was TJ wasn't even starting. TJ was like the third guy in that slot. They had a 47. I forgot his name, man. And then the other guy who went on to play for Pittsburgh for several years, Joe Sherbert, maybe something like that. But anyway, but they're known for having some, you know, some solid defense. But they're trying to get back to that. I talked about the senior guys in the secondary. Gave up a couple of plays here and there in the first half, at least to Middle Tennessee. But some guys with a lot of experience, which one of them is probably their returning guy with, you know, statistically at least one of their most productive players. I can't remember which safety that is. I want to say it's Zachman. Is that how you say his last name? Preston Zachman, yeah. And then linebacker-wise, Aliagro, he's leading the team in tackles right now, and he's returning, I believe he's a veteran as well. So, and he also is the one that was on their preseason Butkus watch list. Like, so they got a veteran linebacker who's a solid player, some experience in the secondary. They bring in a transfer from LSU, I believe, as a defensive tackle, another one at outside backer. So what I'm getting at is defensively, they do have a better unit. So it will be interesting. They hadn't been tested yet. They will be tested this Saturday. I do think that will be a bigger matchup. But offensively, I'll be honest with you, they weren't really too impressive. Defensively, a little bit better for sure. But that's what I got for you guys in terms of just previewing them ahead. And then tomorrow, we'll kind of put a bow on everything, get into predictions and all that good stuff. You guys know the drill. That being said, let's hit our final timeout. When we come back, we got Bryce on the phone lines. Plus, we'll wrap up some of y'all's questions here in the chat. And we'll pass on over to Wyatt after this. Right here on the Miller's Edge, 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feast Store, America's Auto Sport Experts. We'll be right back.
On the game with Ryan Fowler.
One day closer to Alabama, Wisconsin. We'll break it all down with Aaron Torres from Fox Sports. We'll also talk with Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com, and we'll get a professional handicapper, Bruce Marshall, visit with us on the Thursday edition of the game starting at 2 p.m. on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program.
Talk about a great play.
From September 1st to November 30th, Depend is donating 25 cents to the Prostate Cancer Foundation for Depend Shields Guards Real Fit products purchased in the U.S. up to a maximum of $300,000. Lloyd in Mississippi.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-91.
Call or text 205-553-0958.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
I'll still be making the plays. You'll be making the bets. And finally getting the sports glory you deserve. The Sportsbook at Golden Moon Casino. Play the game.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact...
That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
It's a dry forecast through early next week. A sunny sky this afternoon, the high today around 90. Clear tonight, below 67. Tomorrow and Saturday, the weather hot and dry. Lots of sunshine both days. Highs between 90 and 93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 86 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We got a few minutes left. I know we got Bryce on the phone line, so let's get him on here ASAP. Bryce, welcome in.
Kristen, this teammate showed me nothing other than they had a little intensity playing a little high school team. so they go down and beat a quality opponent. I'm not having any confidence in them. If they don't go out there and play Saturday, Luke Fickell's going to come in here. It's kind of like you used to say, you get up who you play. They're going to be ready. If they get busted in the mouth and don't get up off the mat, it could be a long Saturday. You know, this team's going to be physical because Luke Fickell's a good coach.
And
they're going to get up to Alabama playing at home at 11 o'clock. If they go in there and lay around, drag around, and not have any intensity, they're going to get their ass beat. It's 21-point line. I'm not believing it until I see it. And until you go on the road and beat somebody because you hadn't beat nobody on the road, you stink just like you did down at Florida State. When you go on the road, it's going to get ugly for the rest of the year because you got some tough games on the road.
Yeah, no, we definitely do have our hands full going forward. But I'm with you. You definitely don't want to overlook this team. I don't want to sound like I'm disrespecting them, but, I mean, when you look at the team,
I respect you as a player. But this team doesn't have the same viewpoint that you do when they go out and play an opponent. They don't wear that script. They ain't proud of it, you know. And so if they show me something going on the road and beat somebody, a team like Georgia, I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, and I mean, that's fair. That's fair. And I definitely think, obviously, we got to continue to prove it, like 100%. Looking at this game specifically, it's like, I respect Coach Fickell. He's a really good football coach. It's just kind of interesting, kind of how they've looked so far. Again, defensively, they have looked much better, but it's hard to tell with this Wisconsin team because it's Miami of Ohio and Middle Tennessee, right? Offensively,
They'll be up, and that quarterback. If you run the ball on Alabama, that's the blueprint. They've been licking their chops. They saw that Florida State quarterback, the way he made them embarrassed him. Two things, Kristen. Why don't they put a spy on the quarterback?
Well, here's the thing. I know last week that wasn't needed, but they talking about in the first week. I mean, I definitely think you probably could have considered spying Tommy Castellanos 100%. It probably would have been ideal. However, you know, I guess their game plan didn't have that. I don't know. And I'll be honest with you, if you're going to spy, though, you got to have the guy to do it, too. So my question to you would be, I mean, maybe Quay Russo, they talk about how fast he runs in practice. I mean, maybe have him as a spy, but then you got to put somebody in to, you know, fill his spot off the edge, right? So I just don't think we have the best edge group right now, if I'm being completely honest with you.
Well, I agree with you. And another thing is I'm glad he finally wised up and played the backup quarterback because you see where it got us in the first game, but not giving Ty no experience. And then the way Melrose was stinking it up last year, you need at least look at him and see and talk to Melrose, cool him down. And if he don't do any better, you put Melrose back in there and tell him to do better. But I was totally wrong against him not having a quarterback ready. And that's why Ty makes the mistakes in that game because he didn't have any playing time. So I'm glad that he did at least wise up is the word I'm looking for and play a backup quarterback because it's a long season. You can get one hurt just like that, you know. And I'm glad all the quarterbacks got to play and a lot of people got to play, but they need to get jammed some touches because he needs to get back in football shape when you get and have him ready for Georgia. I don't know who it was to call us saying that they need to rest jammed. No, you don't need to rest. You need to play him. We're getting football shape. You know, that's not a good comment. I didn't think so, but that's my opinion. Everybody has one. That's what makes it interesting.
Well, you know, I actually agreed with them. I don't think you should rush him back out here for a Wisconsin game if you don't necessarily, if the other guys are getting the job done, if he's not 100%, because it's a long season, like you said. And if you rush somebody out there and they're not 100%, then I don't think that's ideal, because then you're risking having a setback, and then you don't have them down the stretch when you really need them, versus if the other guys get the job done. If he rests this week, he'll have a whole extra week during that bye week. So that would be
if he's not 100%, I agree.
Which he's probably not going. I mean, I think it's kind of, again, if he's a game time decision, I would not say he's 100%. If he was 100%, they would have had him full goal in practice. So that's where I'm getting that from.
And Ray Hubbard, he needs to just put up or shut up and play like he did last year, because I was very disappointed in the first game. And I don't think Florida State's that good, and I hope I'm wrong, and they run the damn table, but...
We'll find out as they keep playing some better competition. Bryce, we got to get out of here. We're running a little over.
Hey, I appreciate you letting me talk, Christian.
Yes, sir. Absolutely, man. Take care. Good deal. We got to get out of here. We'll see you guys tomorrow right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.